in them. This is how Christianity works. We want to be like Jesus. We have to first know Jesus. We have to spend time with Jesus. So there's this story in John 8, and it is one of my favorite stories, not for what happens in it, but for what Jesus does. Let me give you a little context for this first. The Jerusalem is built on seven hills. Now, they call them mountains, but they're no higher than going up Center Street here and going up to the top of the hill here. And then you come down into a valley and you go up another mountain for something else. Most people, if they were coming to Jerusalem for a festival, would stay outside of the old city of Jerusalem on one of the other mountains and then go into the temple during the day for the festival. Has anybody ever been to Israel? It is hot most of the time there, but on the hills, it's a little cooler. Plus, if you built on a hill, it was better protected, as we tend to, so that they can look out and see. So the temple is on the top of this hill, and it's huge. Solomon's temple is huge. It has the temple building proper, and then it has big courtyards around the temple and places where the sacrifices took place by the priests. What would happen is people would come in for the festivals, and in the courtyards, there would be teachers, different rabbis. They would be in different parts of the courtyard teaching, and if they had something new to say, the people would gather around them and listen. Jesus wasn't the only one who did this. There would be other teachers and rabbis teaching. At night, they would go out and stay someplace else. It happens that out of the east gate of Jerusalem, which is now closed, but it used to be open, people would leave out the gates, go into the valleys, stay there, and come back the next day. One of the valleys out of the east gate is the Kidron Valley, and you could go through the valley and go up the mount on the other side, which was the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives was actually taller than the mount on which the temple was built, and you can still look and see the old city and the temple mount there, which is now a mosque on the temple mount. Anyway, this is what Jesus would do. He'd go out, and so he's very familiar with the Garden of Gethsemane and the Mount of Olives before his death, because that's where a lot of people stayed. And he would go out of the old city, go through the valley, stay in the Mount of Olives, probably in the Garden of Gethsemane, and come back during the day and teach. That is what's happening as the basis of this story today. He gets up early in the morning, it says, and he goes back to the temple courts and he starts teaching the people. Now, I can imagine he was quite dramatic. I can imagine he told great stories, and so he had people coming and listening quite intently to what he had to say all day. They would come and go all day, and he'd sit there and teach as a wisdom teacher would. This particular day, our scripture tells us, it is the end of the festival of Sukkot. And it is the biggest day of the festival. So he's there, and there's probably more crowds in the temple than there have been all week coming for the end of this festival. So Jesus is teaching, sitting there teaching or standing teaching, and there's a great crowd of people around him teaching probably. But what he's also done is he's really annoyed the religious leaders. He was good at that. And so he had annoyed them. He had gained a lot of followers. He was causing division among people, and the Jewish leaders didn't like that because it could cause trouble with Rome. They didn't want any leaders who took away their authority, for one thing, and also caused trouble amongst the people because the Romans were always watching. They were looking for a way to catch Jesus and arrest Jesus this particular day. He's sitting there teaching the people when there's a great commotion arises, and a group of religious leaders push their way through the crowd, dragging a woman with them, and push her in front of Jesus and say to him, in front of all the people he's teaching, "Look, this woman was just caught in adultery, and our law says she must be stoned to death." Don't get me started on why it's the only woman. It's only the woman that's there. Takes two to tango, so they say. Only the woman. Traditionally, women have been the ones who have been accused of being the temptresses, as if men have no control over themselves. So this woman is pushed in front of Jesus, and they say to Jesus, point blank, what are you going to do now? She was caught in adultery. She is to be put to death, stoned to death, in fact. Now, let's get this straight. People imagine this story with a bunch of religious leaders and people standing there holding stones. The story doesn't say that. They would not be holding stones ready to stone her if he said, go ahead. They wouldn't, because they're in the temple proper. They would take her to a public square or outside of town. They wouldn't have stoned her there. Really, that's not what the story is about. The story is about catching Jesus. They want to catch him red-handed saying, no, you can't stone her. So Jesus is there, and he's got a big audience, and I'm sure when the commotion starts, there are a bunch of other people come to watch what's going on, you know, rubbernecking. And what does Jesus do? What would we do if somebody, some righteous, self-righteous, arrogant, angry people came at us and got in our face trying to catch us doing something bad? We might start yelling back or arguing with them or whatever. This is where Jesus was brilliant. This is what I would like to be back, what I'd like to be like if people did that kind of thing to me. He squatted down on the ground and he started drawing in the dirt. He didn't fight with them. He couldn't fight with them because he would have been wrong as far as the law went. He didn't. He just squatted down and started writing in the dirt. Now, people for generations have tried, or thousands of years have tried to figure out what he was writing. It doesn't matter. That's not the point. The point is they're trying to accuse him of something and he doesn't bite. He just waits. What's the best way to throw people off? Not to fight with them. It's just to sit back and be quiet. Wait. And he waits. And maybe he doodles in the dirt. Who knows? Wait. Don't get in people's faces. Say, come on, let's have a cup of tea. But they got in his face again and started yelling at him more. Tell us what you want. And he then stood up slowly and said, let the one without sin cast the first stone. Wait. See, this is the brilliance. Then he squats down again and he starts writing in the dirt again. He's not going to accuse them of anything. He's not going to try and get back to them. See, the brilliance of Jesus was he never directly got in people's faces. He wanted them to learn for themselves, to figure it out for themselves. And the way to do that is just quietly say something and let it sink in. And it did. It went straight to their hearts. They got it. All he had to say was, if any of you are innocent, you get to throw the first stone. He didn't fight them with the law. He didn't argue with them. Wait. And he did for some time. And slowly, one by one, the oldest ones going first, they started to walk away. And slowly they moved away until the whole crowd was gone. He was just down there doodling. He didn't look up at all until finally he sensed no more footfalls. And he stood up, and the only one left was the woman who had been accused. And he said to her, where is everyone? Where is everyone? Have they not condemned you? Has no one condemned you? And she said, no, sir, no one has condemned me. And then Jesus says to her, neither do I. This is the great grace of God. This is the great generosity of God. No, you're not condemned. You might have been caught doing something you shouldn't have. Maybe that the law says you shouldn't have. But we're not going to condemn each other. Neither do I condemn you, he said. Now go and don't do those things that cause such damage to your life. Go and sin no more, he says. She was the last sinner out of the crowd. The rest had already recognized that they were. They all walked out. She was only the last of all the sinners to go out. Not the only one. The last of all of them. What would it be like, friends, if we weren't going around in this world condemning each other, arguing with each other, trying to get each other to understand our point, to make them believe what we believe? What would it be like if we just waited with calmness and wisdom? This is what Jesus teaches us. This is what we take to heart and take out into the world. We don't need the fighting that's going on. We need understanding and forgiveness. Neither do I condemn you. Now go out and don't do what causes harm. Let's take a moment for reflection.